Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for a show recorded in Lake Arrowhead, California. We'll balance the empirical evidence on a show about science. Indie rock duo Aloud join us, and performance artist April Havashankman is back with her vocal gymnastics.
Julia, what do you think would be more scientifically groundbreaking? A flying car that can't talk, or a talking car that can't fly?
Well, they've had talking cars since the 1980s, so a flying car for sure.
What about a car that talks about flying, like a lot?
What good would that do?
I don't know, maybe pass the time on the way to work.
Can it at least drive itself?
No, but it's got a moonroof.
What's the difference between a sunroof and a moonroof?
The time of day.
What if you drive it when the sun's out?
There's no sun in the future, Julie. This scenario takes place on Mars.
Obviously.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
It's like a football stadium in here. Thank you, folks. And on the other microphone, 60% water, 40% vanilla latte, 100% wife, Julie Van Dusen. Science, observing and experimenting, sorting out how it all works, the physical universe. Understanding leads to advancement, invention. They say that necessity is the mother of it, invention. I say it's laziness. Well, maybe laziness is the father of invention. Sounds more like a man. It wasn't a necessity to glide around on a Segway, but it beats walking and it's almost half as fast. Science isn't only for nerd scooters, though. We built our homes with it. We power our vehicles. It can even protect us, predict the weather, foresee the impending consequences of climate change, for example. Maybe we use science to come up with some cool new inventions to combat it, or maybe we deny it's happening and it'll just go away. Get the Mexicans to build a wall around it. Yes, ignorance is the president of invention.
There's a black hole in the mind of man, begging please to help me understand all the things that turn and whirl and spin and click in the never-ending mystery of it.
Cavemen mostly just, you know, doped around like a bunch of monkeys. But when they started talking, well, they were able to start passing on what they learned, you know, down through the generations. Science began that way, as an oral tradition, technique and knowledge. It rains after the sun goes down 50 more times, so if you stick a spiky seed in the brown dirt, it'll grow. If you stick a spiky seed under Ugg seed, it'll be hilarious. The Egyptians, they made early advancements, for example, in geometry, mostly triangles. I think triangles everywhere. And alchemy, basically that was the original medical science. Papyrus, discovered in the 1800s, describes 48 cases of injuries and tumors. Sure, they lost all 48 of them, but at least they were getting it down on papyrus. Now, the Sumerians, they began recording some numerical information on clay tablets, but that was mostly just to troll future generations listening to Coast to Coast AM. Now, the Babylonians, they were good at astronomy, the solar year. The lunar month, right? They hadn't even invented pants yet. Grown men walking around in shawls and skirts. They figured out the whole star system, but no pants. Skirts. They could tell you exactly where Antares was going to be, but their knees could be anywhere.
Well, there's a black hole in the mind of man, begging please to help me understand all the things that turn and whirl and spin and click in the never-ending mystery of it.
Now, the ancient Greeks, they didn't have pants yet either. It was togas, which shows you, if anything, they made great advancements in partying. Thales, I guess his name is, he was dubbed the father of science. Put forward the first non-supernatural explanation, you know, for earthquakes, floods, other natural phenomena. His student Pythagoras, math, the spherical earth, Leucippus was postulated the atom, Plato, Aristotle, deductive reasoning. The Greeks gave us so much, but what have they done for us lately? Now, they did help Europe find their way out of the Dark Ages later on. The scholars digging up the old ideas. Roger Bacon, out of that, invented modern scientific method. I don't know much about him, but he sounds delicious. Ushered in the Renaissance, natural sciences leaps forward. Galileo bridges the gap to modern science. Newton comes along and gets hit in the head by that apple, figures out gravity. Just think, if it would have been a watermelon, he could have been killed, and we'd all still be floating around without gravity to this day. He was so committed to discovery, Newton. This is true. He probed his own eyeball with a needle. He actually did that. He probed his own eyeball with a needle to discover that if you probe your own eyeball with a needle, it hurts.
Well, there's a black hole in the mind of man, begging please to help me understand all the things that turn and whirl and spin and click in the never-ending mystery of it.
Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla, Alexander Graham Bell. Late 19th century, science starts churning out gadgets, using the discoveries to, you know, light up a room or flatten a few hundred square miles. Einstein's theories led to the atomic bomb. George Clinton's theories led to the atomic dog. The science of funk, but that's a whole other episode. I digress. I don't know what digress means. Aerodynamics, airplanes, chemistry, medicine, pharmaceuticals, organ transplants, artificial organs, communications, telephones, the radio, television, cyberspace, interplanetary space travel, artificial intelligence, quantum computing. Seems like we started by trying to figure out how this world works. And now we've started trying to create a new world altogether. Could be that we're jumping the gun a little early here, or jumping the laser, as it were. I've heard it said that we're passing through the eye of the needle right now, the theoretical point of scientific advancement where most intelligent species die off. You get so much figured out that you get too powerful. It gets dangerous, right? And if you're not ready for it, philosophically, socially, well, you burn up on entry. You can't get through to the next level. Well, I guess if we don't make it through, at least I'll get to live out my childhood fantasy of ruling a post-apocalyptic wasteland in leather chaps with a chainsaw for a hand and a dune buggy.
And if we make it out alive into boundless skies, heart to beat in everlasting life, we'll shine, oh, we'll shine, we'll shine.
So we're going to conduct some experiments today, some sketches, a story, a few songs, gather up the data and see if it's entertaining. Stick around, it's only radio waves.
Well, there's a black hole in the mind of man, begging please to help me understand all the things that turn and whirl and spin and click in the never-ending, always-bending loop. One knows which way it's trending, never-ending mystery.
As always, we are bound to offend someone out there listening. We're discussing science this week, so probably creationists, or more likely, climate change deniers. If you do take issue with anything you hear on the program, feel free to perform a double-blind study, get it published in an accredited journal, and submit it to our complaint box. So if you still aren't satisfied, you can tweet me directly at @JPHouston. Our musical guests this week are a talented duo out of Los Angeles, California, by way of Massachusetts. Ladies and gentlemen, Aloud.
This ain't easy, but I've made up my mind. I'm smashing in your mirror. I'd sooner go blind. Well, I don't know what I can do. I keep falling out of love. That picture is
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Uncertain economic times, inflated home prices, rising oil prices, interest rates. Where do you think inflation is headed over the next 5 years? We believe the time to trade in gold and silver was last year. To secure your nest egg ahead of the coming collapse, invest with NetEx in Bitcoin. Our operators are standing by to transfer your life savings into an imaginary currency preferred by Russian mobsters and weird computer guys. In the last 6 hours alone, Bitcoin has appreciated 7%. Wait, 4, 3, minus 12%. Call now and enjoy our special offer. For every Bitcoin purchased, we'll send you one donkey dollar, redeemable at Jack's Horse Apple Hayride House, which is now more valuable than Bitcoin. NetEx Bitcoin Exchange. Secure your future with the future currency of the future.
From Pepe, Ohio, to Santa Claus, Arizona. Everywhere you look, from pistols to rocket launchers, everyday Americans are exercising their right to bear arms.
Hey, I've been exercising, and all I got are these lousy human arms.
No, Billy, to bear arms.
Aw, dang it. Ma says I always gotta wear sleeves.
Have you been drinking the lead in the water again, Billy?
Maybe.
Well, then I'll start at the beginning, the Second Amendment.
What happened to the First?
Shut up, Billy.
All right, as long as I get my bear arms.
I'll show you. Follow me.
Where are we going?
To the gun show.
I'll start doing curls.
This way! Look down there, Billy.
Whoa, that's a whole lot of steel.
It's freedom.
To take down a dinosaur?
Freedom to be free.
From what?
Tyranny.
Who's being tyrannical?
Well, let's just say that a fringe group of real wingnuts comes along and they take over all three branches of government and they simply refuse to listen to reason.
You mean like those wingnuts at the gun show?
No, those are upstanding citizens, Billy.
What about that one wearing a tinfoil hat and using the Confederate flag as a cape? Hey, he's about to buy that rifle!
Oh, don't worry, Billy. He'll get a background check.
Well, how long is that gonna take?
And it's finished.
There ought to be a law.
Well, then you'll have to vote, Billy.
All right. Do that magic hop thing and let's go to the polls.
A real patriot punches his ballot from a distance with a 22.
Oh, I'm not even old enough to vote.
Isn't that adorable? Like it would really make a difference anyway.
What do you mean?
I'll show you. Follow me.
All right.
This way. This way.
Uh-oh. Looks like your magic hop ain't working.
This way.
That's all right. We can just hoof it.
Nonsense, Billy. Hang on to this rocket-propelled grenade.
You're the narrator.
This way! See, Billy? If we had that waiting period you'd wanted, well, we'd still be back at the gun show.
All this irony is making me thirsty. You got a bottle opener?
Just use one of those pistols lying around.
Okay. Taste glassy.
Look, Billy, it's the Capitol building. Just through those doors there, your elected officials are hard at work.
Ooh, I'm gonna make a sign and really get their attention.
I hope that sign is made out of cold, hard cash, Billy.
What do you mean?
Well, you'll have to pay a lobbyist to grease the wheels of democracy.
I say that's bunk.
And I say this sketch is getting a little preachy.
Shh, it's the 1950s. They haven't invented self-referential humor yet.
You're causing trouble with those wacky ideas again, Billy.
Ain't nothing wacky about sensible gun laws.
And right on the nose.
Okay, hands up.
What are you doing, Billy?
I'm mounting an armed insurrection to retake power and ban assault rifles.
With that assault rifle.
I run knee.
Yes, Sheboygan to Cheyenne. Everyone is protected by the Second Amendment.
I think it's about time we heard another song from Aloud.
The winter comes cresting over me like riptides from a frozen sea. Ruins of time remain, stretched on a bitter plain. It's been so long, it's been so long, it's been so long since we've seen the sun. What misdeeds would I ask of you? How much strength is in a heart that's true? How far can we bear to climb as we grasp at straws? It's been so long. It's been so long. It's been so long since we've seen the sun. It's been so long. It's been so long. so long. It's been so long since we seen the sun. Thank you.
Another amazing song by our friends Aloud.
You can find information about our musical guests on their website, allthingsaloud.com. Let's have another song from Aloud.
Thank you. Aloud, how about that? A beautiful song.
In the 1970s, great leaps were made in lapel technology and comb-over science. Not only could man now travel to space, he could also play asteroids. Communications rocketed into the information age on VHS with tracking lines and teen sex comedies. And as the 1980s short-circuited the old world in a neon burst, a man would follow the first walk on the moon of 69 with the first actual moonwalk of 1983. I prayed for it, waited with impatience, and flipped through the Fat Sears catalog past the underwear to the electronics, just waiting. Waiting until the day that a TV could fit into your pocket. If I could dial in the channels anywhere, well, then I could hide it under the covers. I could watch late-night blue movies, and even if they were in Italian, I didn't care. I could watch them. I gave up on waiting for the little set, and I settled on burying a full-sized one in a pile of toys at the foot of my bed. I could hang the blanket over the edge and slide down, crane my neck over, and barely see the worst B-movies, avoid sleep altogether for the rest of the year, and from 4 to bedtime after school, too, and the entire weekend as well. Mandatory entry into the science fair at school? Worth half your marks? Well, whatever, I don't care. They're showing Zardoz on The Late Show. It's outer space and nudity. I'm sorry, there's no such thing as a science fair.
The world was shrinking. Silver City streets on green ground, winding from cube to cube, past capacitor towers and diode shops, smaller and smaller, weaving on those circuit boards. Deep inside the refrigerator-sized plastic boxes, so much computing power, so much, even enough to play tic-tac-toe. Imagine it, sending stocks soaring through the roof and making chubby men with trimmed beards adjust their glasses to count the windfall, powerful enough to do the impossible, make nerds cool. There it was, page 272 of the Sears Fall catalog, just below that weird back massager. An actual, genuine, pocket-sized television. Sure, you'd need a very big pocket, but still, technically, pocket-sized. UHF and VHF crammed into something the size of a healthy brick. I need it, Dad. I need it. Oh, not a chance. It's $200, he says. But please, Dad, please. All right, look, he says. Win that science fair, and I'll get one for you. It was a shrewd play from the old man, because he knew well and good that I slept through any learning in school, and I didn't do any homework, and there was absolutely 0% chance that I'd put my nose to any kind of grindstone. He was pretty smart. Pretty smart for a man who couldn't figure out that socks don't go under sandals, and whose shorts were cut so short in the summer, they were cut so short in the summer that he would hang a pocket, or worse. If robots were good for one thing, it was being buddies. In that inevitable 1980s version of the future, every boy definitely ends up with his own robot buddy. R2-D2, Johnny 5, even Rocky had a robot by part 4. And always on wheels and vaguely garbage can-ish, and somehow able to communicate to you perfectly with random electronic gibberish. Yeah, the old man doesn't know how bad I want it. That sucker, he has no idea how bad I need it, right? If I have to hunker down for a week and hit a first prize home run at the science fair, and then, well, and the result is I get to spend the rest of my life sneaking in late shows in my pocket, so be it. I've got the work ethic of Tesla, the drive of Edison. Just tomorrow after the back-to-back Flash Gordon reruns. Or maybe the next day once Porky's 12 is over. And it's Thursday night. 15 hours left to pull off the greatest, most groundbreaking science fair project out of thin air. Computers. There's not enough time. No, can't make up a computer. Robot buddy? Well, although I am totally capable of the first sentient artificial intelligent garbage can, sure, but not in 15 hours. I'd need more time. 12 hours, I mean. 12 hours. Think, kid. Think. 11 hours. Come on. 10 hours. This is brilliant. That baking soda volcano that my brother did like 10 years ago, that was one of a kind. He's a genius, right? He's my older brother. He did that baking soda. No one's ever thought of that. I'll dig that out of the basement and dress it up a little. No one else is smart enough to come up with that thing. And with 7 hours to spare, I can easily set the paper mache with a hairdryer, right? Montage, crazy kid zooms in and out on the clock, the minute hand flying around, dissolves to pacing and calculating huge formulas on a blackboard. Montage, crescendos and smash cut to a kid fast asleep with his face on the table. Bolts up with a strip of paper mache stuck to his face. Oh no, it's 8 a.m. My eyes come into focus and oh my God, I did it. I might as well be hovering over Hawaii in a helicopter. This thing looks so real. And the little palm trees around it, and my sister's Barbie with pencil-shaving grass skirt. Brilliant. I'm basically Einstein, a one-of-a-kind, actually exploding baking soda tabletop Hawaiian volcano. That little TV's mine. I scoop it up, and I make for the door. It's raining, so I shove it under my shirt. Crunch. It's all right. I can hammer it back out in the hall, down the street, over the back fence, across the yard. Just got to get to the gymnasium before anyone else and get that sweet spot in the middle of the room with the good light. You lose, Dad. Pocket TV, here I come. Up the stairs, sliding down the hall, wave to the janitor on the way, through the big doors, and a room full of perfectly set up displays. 15 of them are authentic Hawaiian paper mache volcanoes.
Catch the skies in a pocket of light for all mankind just to leap out of sight. The wonders are playing catch with the moon and shooting jacks with the stars back when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Sponge, please, nurse.
Sponge.
Nurse?
Yes, doctor.
This sponge is dead.
Sorry. A living one, doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
You're welcome, doctor.
Anytime, nurse.
Same, doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
Doctor?
Yes, nurse?
The patient, doctor.
Yes, nurse?
He's turning blue.
Yes, nurse. That would be the squid ink.
Oh, of course, doctor.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Ginkgo root.
Ginkgo root.
Slice it thin. Now we don't have much time.
Yes, doctor.
His candida levels are increasing. You have to hurry, nurse.
I'm trying, doctor.
Oh, we're losing him. Give me 20 cc's of St. John's wort, stat.
20 cc's.
Nurse?
Yes, doctor.
Did you dilute it?
Yes, sir. 100 times.
Dilute it again. We need more power.
I can't dilute it anymore.
You heard me, nurse. We have to stabilize his adrenal glands. Now dilute it again.
But, doctor, he doesn't have any.
What on goddess's holistic green earth are you talking about?
The patient, sir. The patient is a bag of dirt. Oh.
Well, that's because you don't believe.
I have to believe.
Yes, nurse, that's how this nonsense works. Now, pass me the hallucinogen.
For the patient, doctor.
No, for you, nurse. We'll never save this man if you can't see him.
And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Our next guest is an old friend. We're happy she's back with us on the program, a performance artist and comedian from Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, April Havashankman.
Sing along. I don't know why, but I feel so spring chicken. Do you feel spring chicken? But you got a little spring as fun, yeah? Well, don't mind me if I flaunt my feathers. I gotta flaunt them while I still got them. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I know, excusez-moi, I'm a little flocked out. Yeah, I know, you're probably thinking, no, not a little. She's flocked out of her mind. Yeah. And for those of you who don't do fabric, flocking is frosting sans calories. Flocking. Woo-hoo, yeah? You like? Yeah. The tool, the tool. I'll stick around for the jokes. Divine decadence, darling. Yeah. Ever since my waist moved up to my neck, I'm on a strict eye candy diet. But it's great, because I can have as much as I want. Indulgence, darling. I feel so indulgence, yeah? Yeah, you know, it's a good neck, yeah? You know, but the oxygen flow to the brain, it's been altered a bit, you know? It's like I'm living in an alternative reality, an alternative universe, scientifically proven to be true, yeah? Wow. And in this universe I live in, it's filled with marshmallow peeps peeping around. Peep, 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 peep. Yeah, and the Cadbury bunny is queen. Yeah, and why shouldn't she be? I mean, she does lay eggs au chocolat. Eggs au chocolat, caramel, nougat. The dentist says, hi. Yeah, I know, it's not very ladylike for me to brag about my chocolate obsession. Yeah, but leave it to a lady to make every holiday about chocolate and tablecloths. And maybe kitchen towels. I'm getting into salt and pepper shakers. Who knows what's next? Yeah, the fridge is the limit. Yeah, do you get the body? Stick around for the jokes. Yeah, chocolate. I know. A lady is supposed to watch her figure. Yes. Well, I've been watching mine for years, and I just can't figure out where it's gone. I'm a woman who wears mystique like some women wear perfume. Strong and very noticeable. Excuse me, it's the B12 talking. I took 12. It's okay. I'm a vegetarian. I have to supplement my nutrients somehow. Yeah, you know, I eat socks. But the good socks, you know what I'm saying? The good socks, because, you know, they're BPA-free, GMO-free, RBST-free, calorie-free, sodium-free, calorie-free. They're free, they're free, they're so free, they're flying. Ciao, bambinos, ciao. Yeah, socks. Socks and threads, yeah. Remember the old days, the good old days when you didn't have to be a detective to swallow? When you could just eat and food was really food and you didn't know what the has-beens and the has-nots and the what's and what's and what's I'm gonna call it and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yeah, remember the 80s when a yam was a yam was a yam? Yeah, the good old days. Reminds me. There's too much spam going around. You know what I'm saying? Spam. Ah, spam. Oh, excuse me, I'm recovering from a social media meltdown. Spam. Yeah, it just happened last week. I just couldn't like it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like. I've just had enough likes. So I decided to, you know, jump ship. Yeah, and, you know, it's a good feeling to, you know, be in the real world and you know, but I didn't know my absence on Facebook would be so noticeable. I mean, just last week, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg lost $9 billion. Imagine that. Wow. See, one person can make a difference. Yeah. So I decided to go out there and rejoin the human race. I decided to go out there and march. March! I'm having an epiphany moment, a moment of real feelings. I just wanted to say how good it is to be on the radio, to be heard and not seen. Yes! Oh, I love it. It's like dancing in the dark. Yes, it makes me feel so alive, so mysterious, so uninterrupted. We interrupt this program. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Oh, me? I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale. Oh, then is that the witch? That's my dog Toto, or at least I think it is. I mean, we don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll have to wait till spring. I mean, it is spring. It's here. Oh, the munchkins were wondering if you're a good witch or a bad witch. I mean, just because I got off of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter doesn't mean I'm a witch. The munchkins are laughing because I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the good witch of the north. Oh, I beg your pardon, but I never heard of a beautiful witch before. Witches are mean and ugly. Who cared, my sister? Was it you? Aren't you forgetting something? The slippers. The slippers. Give them back to me. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. I'm frightened, Auntie Em. I'm frightened, Auntie Em. Their powers must be very powerful, or else she wouldn't want them so badly. What happened to the ruby slippers that Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer made you wear for Technicolor? Well, everything seems to be going backwards in time, so I decided to be ahead of the time by going behind the time and wearing the silver slippers that Frank Baum intended me to wear. I'm melting! Oh, what a world! But wait a minute, we haven't even got to that part of the movie where I throw water and oh, be God. It's climate change. She melted her before you ever get your hands on her. Oh, I'm a little bit perplexed, and, well, climate change will get you too in the end. So you better kick your heels 3 times and say there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Oh, Annie, I'm there's no place like home. Was he good, Shonzi, to Shonzi? No, Lossi, to Consonzi. Bonnie Paper, you're the one. Bonnie Paper, you're the one. Bonnie Paper, you're the one for me. For me. For me. For me! Grazie!
We've got enough time for one more song from Aloud.
Some taste.
Thank you. Wow.
Thank you.
All right. Another great song and a couple of powerful voices.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook and for joining us here at the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead. Thanks to our guests, Bill Cott with the great Montebank. And of course, Tim Easton. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. Now you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlor.com. I'm ignoring you this time, Martha.
Well, you're not doing a very good job of
it. I can't hear you.
Wendell.
Still nothing.
I am unignorable.
Oh, just a gentle breeze through the window.
Wendell.
A little birdie on the sill.
Tweet, tweet, you nitwit.
Bad birdie.
You keep it up and she'll peck out the other eye.
All right, fine. I'll fulfill my Sartre-esque cycle of inevitable self-torture and ask you the same thing I do every night. Yes, Martha, what is it?
Where is my checkbook?
In the bureau drawer in 1977.
What do you mean?
I mean, you haven't been allowed to have one since you bounced that check for a gold statue of yourself.
Well, if they weren't going to give me the Oscar, I had to take matters into my own hands.
Oscar for what?
Taxi Driver Part 2.
First of all, you looked ridiculous in that mohawk. And second of all, they shelved that stink bomb.
Third, shut up. And fourth, I held an eligibility screening.
On the back of a truck outside the ceremony.
All of the biggest stars were there. Of course, me, Billy Barty, J.J. Walker, Marlon Brando.
Oh, you captured Brando with a pot roast and a net.
He said he loved it.
He was talking about the roast.
There was a tear coming down his cheek.
Au jus.
He was standing up and cheering at
the end.
He was
demanding more roast beef.
Yes, he ate a whole roast beef in an hour and a half.
Yeah, he missed the entire ceremony.
Oh, whatever. I sent in that native girl for him.
Oh, well, that whole charade ended up costing us $200,000. The very next day, I had you declared non compos mentis.
You rat! If anyone is compos mentis, it's me.
Judge Johnson disagreed.
Well, it was my second-rate lawyer's fault.
Martha, you defended yourself.
Yes, but I was playing Sandra Carlton, sexy lawyer.
I don't think the wig and glasses helped your case, Martha.
If you want a good performance, you have to be fully committed.
Well, you were fully committed, all right.
Oh, It was the trial of the century.
I thought you didn't remember that case,
no,
Mother.
I do remember it. I just thought I was on trial for the kidnapping of Brando.
No, that explains your first witness, then.
Oh, Patty Hearst is a doll.
You certainly treated her like one. When she wouldn't answer the way you liked, you climbed into the box and forcefully puppeteered her head like a ventriloquist dummy.
That's hilarious.
Oh, hilarious. Your legal vaudeville continued with an inappropriate burlesque in the courtroom.
There is no such thing, baby.
Off went your clothes, up onto the bailiff's shoulder, steering him around by the ears, careening around the courtroom, singing, "Please release me.
Please release me and let me go."
Fortunately, they did. Into my custody. And you have been under my conservatorship ever since.
So you mean to tell me that I've been legally incompetent for the last 40 years?
For your own good, Martha.
I demand a new trial.
I demand a new wife.
Oh, I don't have to put up with this. Where's your bloody checkbook?
What is so urgent that it can't wait until morning?
I have to drop off a check or I'll miss my opportunity.
What opportunity?
The one of a lifetime.
Oh, I don't like the sound of this.
Rutger said you would try and hold me down.
Rutger?
Personal power guru, Rutger Ludgren.
Oh, Brad.
He said that every great person has a spirit sucker. That's you.
I'm only trying to protect you, Martha.
Oh, protect me? Protect me from the opportunity of a lifetime?
What, some session with a con man?
No. A lifetime of personal power. First-class film roles, talk show appearances, clothing lines. All I have to do is give Rutger the $300 for the new retreat center, and he's going to make me his top priority.
$300 what?
$1,000.
At 2 a.m.?
It has to be in Kauai by the morning, or the astral charts will be out of alignment, stupid.
Oh, that's how they get you, Martha. High-pressure tactics.
How who gets who?
Con men, grifters, personal power guru.
No, Rutger's perfectly legit.
Oh, how do you know that?
He wears an authentic cape.
And that does it for you?
And he carries a scepter.
Oh, so it takes a cape and a scepter to earn your trust.
Oh, and he has a PhD from the legitimate University of Ecuador.
Sounds legitimate.
Exactly.
Mother, you're going to have to trust me on this one.
I am perfectly capable of judging good character.
For example?
Bernie Madoff.
Thankfully, I stopped the check. Everyone else lost everything.
All right. What's his name? Spielberg's son. I backed his movie.
Another close call. Jesus Spielberg, it turns out, wasn't a Spielberg at all.
Are you sure?
As sure as I am about the perpetual motion machine you tried to back.
It wasn't perpetual?
It electrocuted the cat.
Oh.
Indeed, Martha.
Oh, so I'm non-compos mentis?
Oh, you don't need to be so sad, dear. That's what we love about you.
What, that I'm crazy?
No, that you're out of your mind.
Oh, but what's the difference?
A little nudity, a song, maybe a hilarious mishap or two.
Well, I am pretty entertaining.
Exactly. You do the non-compos mentising, and I'll do the balancing. Keep it all together. Clear a path so your high-wire act finishes with a safe landing on the other side. Now, I keep the money so you can afford a personal injury suit once in a while or replace a stolen horse.
Or like that time when I ruined Elton's Jackson Pollock painting and you replaced it while he slept.
Yeah, I painted it myself in the dark.
Yes, you snuck in like a cat burglar.
I stepped on the cat, actually.
You put it back on the wall and you saved me again.
And again and again.
My hero.
My pleasure. It's like I always say, Martha. You make things interesting.
And you make them okay.
Just okay?
Well, you make them perfect.
Perfect. Now, let's get some rest and I'll report Rutger and cancel the checks in the morning.
Aren't you forgetting something?
What's that?
My lullaby. Oh. You know I cannot sleep without it.
Very well.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said
time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.